And you may be seated. And grace and peace be yours in the name of the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. Amen. So this week, like last week, you should have an insert in your bulletin. And I left some blank spaces because I know some of you read ahead. So that's why they're there. But today, we want to talk about this specific angel, Gabriel. Last week, we talked about angels in general. And just to remember, I want us to bear in mind, angels are powerful spiritual beings created by God, but not God, non-corporeal, but they can appear to us, sent by God to serve his people. Sent by God to serve his people. So that was last week to talk about angels. And I guess thinking about that would say that most of us think of angels around Christmas time. Does your nativity scene have angels? Sure, is our church decorated in angels on the trees and as you came in the narthex? Of course, we think about it. And angels happen actually throughout the Bible, but sometimes they're kind of scarce, but they're very frequent at Christmas time. They sing to shepherds. They announce the arrival of a baby. They appear in the dreams of Joseph 5 times in Matthew chapter 1. 5 times. Joseph probably thinks, I can't get any sleep, right? I don't even want to fall asleep. The angel might tell me something. So over and over, angels are there, definitely. Today, read those long scripture lessons from Luke chapter 1. Same angel, one angel, Gabriel, 2 visits, right? And I wanted to separate them, even though those texts are continuous, I wanted to separate them so we would get the idea that Luke 1, 5 to 25, Zechariah, and 26 and following, Mary. They seem so similar in ways and yet so different in the main point. So I want us to notice some things about it. And I will be looking at the outline here. Typical of Luke, he says, in the time of Herod. Remember, Luke is the one who this past gospel lesson, this past week, listed all those people that were reigning when that text took place. Luke chapter 2, it came to pass in those days that Caesar Augustus. So here it is. In the days of Herod. And he means Herod the Great. If you remember the New Testament, there's many guys named Herod, descendants of this dude. But Herod the Great, not so great, I want you to know that. He was a big builder. He made Jerusalem a fabulous city. But he was a tyrant. He was oppressive. He killed members of his own family to preserve his throne. He's not a great man. He's a significant man, but Herod the Great in the worst kind of a way. But we do know, again, I love it when Luke interjects history because we have a faith that happens on the pages of history. We know from history when Herod ruled, 37 to 4 BC. You might say, well, why do I need to know that? This is why. The Bible's clear that Jesus was born right before Herod died. And Herod died in 4 BC. I think that means that Jesus was born in 5 BC. I think we know the year. I think we know the date, too. We can talk about that later. Jesus was born in 5 BC, and all this is happening a year, year and a half before. So this is in BC 6, maybe BC 7. It's fun to know those things. Luke is letting us know that this took place in actual time, like I said on Sunday, not a metaphor, not a legend. This is an event where the angel Gabriel went to see Zechariah, an old priest. By the way, as a pastor, I always delight in reading this text. I don't have this in the notes there, but I always think of it. When you're a pastor, you work in and around a church, right? No duh. But a lot of times when a pastor is here, the lights are all off in the sanctuary. And what are the first 2 words of an angel? Fear not. And so I always think, whenever I come into this sanctuary, and if I'm in the building by myself, and the building is totally dark, and I have to come in here, I always think, Lord, please don't let me see an angel, right? That's exactly how I feel about that. And I think about poor Zechariah here, an old man, a faithful and righteous man, married to a faithful and righteous woman, Elizabeth, childless, right? Childless. In those days, that meant that you did not have God's favor. It was a terrible embarrassment to the two of them, godly people, but having waited and waited, no kids. Zechariah comes in to the sanctuary. Oh, by the way, here's the thing. The Bible tells us he's from the division of Abijah. This is an obscure reference, but if you ever want to look it up, over in 1 Chronicles 24, it lists, there's 12 months of the year, right? And so they decided to divide the priesthood into 24 divisions, and each of them covered a part of a month, and they did it twice a year, a little bit more, to cover the entire year, 24 divisions, and every 6 months they went, and a bunch of priests would go, and then they threw lots to see who goes in and offers the incense today. And at some level, that feels random, but here in this text, when it says he was chosen by lot, that's implying, you know, nudge, nudge, wink, wink, that God was at work. And I've always wondered this with Zechariah, when it says that an angel appeared. So imagine he's approaching the altar, and an angel appears on one side of the altar. I always think, how suddenly was that? Like, was he not there at all, and then boom, he's there? Or did he gradually appear? What happened? Can you imagine if you were in the sanctuary by yourself? Because nobody else was allowed to enter while he's offering this. You're in the sanctuary by yourself and an angel appeared. What would you think? Gripped with fear. Isn't that what the text says? One more thing I want you to know. Here's one of the blanks on your outline to fill in. Zechariah's name means something. Everybody's does. Zechariah's name means Yahweh remembers. Yahweh remembers. Now, the reason I wanted to focus on his name for just a minute. In that day, like in every day, we watch the news, we see what's going on in the world, and what do we tend to think? We tend to think, where's God? Right? Where's God in all this? And we often even think, has God forgotten me? Maybe we think, has God forgotten us? But has God forgotten me? Zechariah, his name says what? No. The Lord remembers. God told Moses, I've seen the misery of my people, right? I've seen their misery. And whenever God remembers, or whenever God says he sees, or whenever God says I know, it means God is about to do something. God is about to do something. You would not be wrong in the year 2021 to look at the mess that we're in and say, does God act? The answer is sometimes with a delay, but God remembers. Yahweh remembers. This man's very name. Now again, childless. How old is he? He's up there. He's getting along in years. Childless. Comes into the temple, and his name means Yahweh remembers. So the angel appears and gives him a word of promise. Oh, by the way, the next thing there is first words are what? We've already said that. It's always the same. Fear not. Fear not. And then this word of promise. Your wife, Elizabeth, she's in her 80s probably. Your wife in her 80s will have a baby. It's cool, right? You're thinking, wait, when he graduates from high school, I'll be 98. No, that's, I don't know. You are going against the medical community. You're going against known fact about the physical world, right? And so what goes on is the promise is a wonderful promise. You're going to have a son. He's going to be the forerunner of the Messiah. He's going to be great. He's going to turn people back to God. Wow, do we need that, right? Turn people back to God. That's going to be your son. That sounds a wonderful word of promise. And we were just saying, it's against known fact, but I have this question here. Are there other miraculous births in the Bible? Sure. Abraham and Sarah are very well along when Isaac was born. Samson's parents were childless. Read, I wrote the reference there because that's a great chapter, Judges 13, the miraculous appearance of an angel in that occasion, the birth of Samson. So just to notice those things. But so we know, does the Bible ever have miraculous births? Answer is yes. But here's the follow-up question. Does Zechariah know those Bible passages? He should. He's a priest. By the way, in my notes here, I switched to calling him Zach. Zechariah is a long name, and I figured that we're going to nickname him Zach. Zach knows those passages, but how does Zach respond? How can I be sure of this? I'm old, and my wife is old. No. hopefully I didn't like overdo it during the reading, but I always want to know, how forcefully should I say those words, right? I am Gabriel. I stand in the presence of God. Right, that's the oops, right? That's the oops of it. The angel gives a deliverance, a wonderful promise, and he doesn't believe it. And the angel is, my wife said peeved. That's all right, we'll go with that. Peeved. This is being recorded, honey. But anyway, no. The angel is perturbed or whatever and says, I'm going to take away your speech until the baby is born. 9 months, no talking. Who here thinks that doesn't sound so bad, right? But it's a funny thing. But anyway, I do want us to know this, that Zechariah is a man of faith. He's doubtful here, but later, if you continue to read Luke, he is a man of faith. The angel says, name him John. They're all arguing about what they're going to name the boy. And Zechariah is given his speech in time to say, name him John. But I have some lessons here. The word, and I want us to be very clear about this. Why does his doubt matter? The word of an angel is a word from God. The angel doesn't come and say, hey, here's my opinion, right? When we hear the word of angel, it's the word of God. And we don't always hear an angel directly, but we do have scripture. And so what are we called to do with scripture? To believe. That's the blank there. We're called to believe the word of God no matter the evidence. There's a lot of things you can read in scripture and you'll say, yes, but. Right? And the Bible will make different promises. Yes, but Lord, I know how the world works. Yes, but this is how my life is going. No, the word of God is to be believed. Right? The word of God says, here's the promises of God. We trust in them. That's what we're called. And by the way, don't try to work yourself up into faith. That's the work of the Holy Spirit to work faith in you. But the word of God is to be believed. The next lesson is this. I just think it's hilarious to notice this. Don't be surprised when God answers your prayers. So he says you're going to have a son, but the angel starts out by saying this, your prayers have been heard. And if you think about it, the angel said your prayers have been heard. That means Zechariah has been doing what? Praying for a son. Can you imagine that? In his 60s and his 70s and his 80s, he's praying for a son. And when it comes to pass, what does he think? Oh, that can't be. Isn't that weird? That can't be. Don't be surprised. Now, what are you praying for? You don't have to say it now. Just think to yourself. What are you praying for? Has it come to pass yet? If the answer is no, then the other part of the answer might be just not yet. Not yet. I'm not sure why, and sometimes God answers our prayer with the word no. We do have to be prepared. That could be. But I'm not sure why we're wired to expect that it's no. Right? We somehow think if I ask God for things, oh, I'm sure it won't happen. Now, wait a minute. Why should we think that? It will happen in God's timing. Zechariah is an old man. How long has he been praying? But when it comes to pass, then what? He rejoices, right? Next thing to know, big picture, and we know this, I want to say it, it just needs to be said. John is the forerunner, so Jesus is the Christ. That's an Advent theme. We said that. I preached that this past Sunday, right? John is the forerunner. Jesus is the Christ. You know that, but you just need to be reminded. Jesus is the Christ. He's the one to come. He's the Messiah. He's the one that God promised, right? That's what Advent is preparation for. That's what Christmas celebrates. And then this, it is possible, this is a tough thing to say, but I wanted to put it here. It is possible to be active in church and let our faith life get dry. Who is Zechariah? A priest. And when he hears the word of the Lord, does he believe it? No. You might say, how did he get to that? I'm a pastor. I'm going to guess that he let the routine wear him down. Doesn't it seem wonderful to be in the Lord's house? Well, sure, but haven't you done it week after week after week, right? You see what I'm saying? And so this is a man who, he is a priest. He's descended from Aaron. He's a righteous man. He has a righteous wife. But he's missing something in his life, and he sort of let it go dry, and it's sort of like, I'm coming in just to do my duty. Does that make sense? And you don't have to be a pastor to be that. There's lots of us if you're serving in the church. Your service is valuable and important. It's a service to the Lord. But isn't it easy to do it like this is just what we do? This is just the routine. This is the stuff we go through. And it's easy to suddenly be really active in church. So we'll think, oh, people that have drifted away, just, you know, do that kind of checkup once in a while. Am I going through the motions at church? I'm at church regularly, but I've let it get dry. Don't let it get dry. Let it be fresh and up to life. Zechariah needed a little shot, right? A little shot of adrenaline to say, you serve the Lord. You serve in the Lord's house. It's great. So know that. That's Zechariah. Let's go to the angel visiting Gabriel. Again, Luke and his details. How much later? 6 months. That's why I always say John the Baptist is 6 months older than Jesus. By the way, it's a little funny hint that John gives later when he talks about Jesus as the one who comes before me. John is older. Why does he say the one who comes before me? Jesus is God, right? He's always been. It's a little hint. The older one says that. I want us to know this. Nazareth is Nowheresville. It's Nowheresville. You ever been to that town? Nazareth is not a happening place. One of the disciples later on says, can anything good come from Nazareth? Answer is, well, sure, if God's at work, but it's by natural. So we romanticize the text. We say, Mary's from Nazareth. That's so sweet. It didn't mean that to anybody in that era. Nazareth was saying like she came from, name a bumpkin town. I don't know. That's not name. I don't want to offend anybody. They're from North Carolina. No, that's not right. Okay, anyway, I love this. God sent the angel. God sent the angel Gabriel. Who sent him? God. Angels are sent by God, right? He's not there on his own. He's not there representing himself. The angel was sent by God. The two words are greetings. That's the first one. Greetings, you who are highly favored. And the second one is, as always, fear not. Fear not. This isn't in your notes, but I'll say it. I'm not a fan of we sometimes picture angels as kind of sweet and gentle. You know what I mean? That kind of thing. When you see angels, you are upset. Right? You get worried. So they're beautiful. They're not scary, but it's shocking. So it's always fear not. Word of promise. God sends the angel. Word of promise. Zechariah, word of promise. Mary, word of promise. Mary's promise is quite fabulous. You will have a son, and he's the Christ. Has Israel been waiting for the Christ? For many centuries. Can you imagine many centuries thinking that Christ is coming, and God says to you, you will be the mother of the Christ. Like now? Really? Now? Yeah. The Christ, the Savior, the Son of God, the one to save us from our sins. And Mary says, I quote the King James, how can this be since I do not know a man? Now here's the funny thing. When the angel came to Zechariah, he had a question. And when the angel comes to Mary, she has a question. Don't they seem similar? And I want to make clear, not exactly, and the not exactly is the important part, right? Not exactly. Here's why. If you look here, I looked at some study Bibles. I read a commentary too, but it was too dry to quote. So Concordia Self-Study Bible says, Mary did not ask in disbelief as Zechariah did. Okay, that's one sentence, but that's okay. The Lutheran Study Bible, in contrast to Zechariah's skeptical question, Mary wonders in faith. So we're all wrestling. Right, with what's the difference? The Geneva Bible of 1599, I have one on my shelf, it's cool to look, it has notes to see what they say. The greatness of the matter causes the virgin to ask this question, not that she distrusts any wit at all, for she asks only of the manner of the conceiving, so that it is plain she believed the rest. But, you know, chew on those, you can decide which, but I'm going to translate it to this. Here's a couple more blanks on your piece of paper. I'm going to translate to this. Zechariah was saying, that can't be, and here's why, right? So the angel says to Zechariah, she's going to have a baby, and he doesn't say just, hey, that's cool. He says, that can't be. That's disbelief, right? Mary is asking a question, but she's saying, I think, okay, so I get what you're saying, but could you explain? Does that make sense? Mary, you're going to have a son, and he's going to be Messiah. I don't think she says that can't be. She's saying, okay, I get that concept, and I receive that, but how does that work? That's what she's saying, right? I think she is saying it in faith, but she's kind of wondering, like we had said a moment ago, Al, you and I were saying, I want to get this. People understand the natural order, even in those days, right? People understood the natural order. She didn't, not everybody right away said, hey, it's a miracle. They understand how procreation happens. In fact, when Joseph heard that she was expecting, what did he do? He thought to divorce her. He understands. His first response wasn't, hey, I bet it was the Holy Spirit. That wasn't his response. He had to be told that by what? An angel. Right, okay. So I do love, I think Mary in faith says, okay, I got the message. How is that going to go? And Gabriel does explain. The Holy Spirit will cause this. Now, here's the point of faith. If God made everything that exists in the entire universe, is he able to bring life to the womb of a virgin? Yeah. Now, if people have a lesser God, they have to come up with phony explanations. Or if people have no God, then they come up with phony explanations. And I didn't put any of those in my notes, but I assure you, this week I was browsing it. You can go to the internet and find out sources. If it wasn't a miracle, what was it? And then there's all this nonsense online. But you're used to nonsense online. But anyway, if you have a lesser God, you have to come up with a rationalistic explanation. We have a God who made everything. He brought life to the virgin's womb. And I love her powerful words. I am the Lord's servant. May it be to me as you have said. And I chose the word powerful on purpose. I wanted to say that. Mary's powerful words of faith. These are the lessons. And the reason I want to emphasize powerful is because I'm not a fan of saying Mary's simple faith. We say that sometimes, right? We think, well, she was a teenage girl, and so we sort of make her, I don't know, you know, simple. Why do we do that? What's simple about her faith? I think it's powerful. So I want to say this. I prefer to say her brave faith. That's what goes in the blanks. I prefer to say her brave faith. Unmarried, engaged, betrothed, and an angel says, you're about to have a baby. And she says, I'm in. Count me in. I like this plan. Let's go with it, right? That's amazing. That's a powerful, but it's a brave faith because she's, I'm going to bravely face what this means. And so she accepts it. But this is the second thing that I want to catch from Mary, is faith, and I think this has to be important for all of us here, because we say faith, and sometimes we mean like a blind leap into the unknown. It doesn't always mean that, because it's difficult. She understands that she's brave, but faith still seeks understanding. That's the word I have there. Faith still seeks understanding. Do you hear her words? I believe, let it be as you have said, but could you tell me how that works, right? Could you explain? That is not wrong, right? To ask God, God, I don't get it. Could you explain? Reveal to me. Faith does not mean blind acceptance. It does not mean suspension of your brain. It doesn't mean that you're rational. Faith means I trust the word of God. That's what faith is. I trust the word of God. Having trusted it, what else do I do? I'd love to understand it, right? I'd love to understand more. I'd love to learn and grow. And so that's what these folks are teaching us. Word of God calls forth our what? Our faith. And as we believe, to also understand. Understand. Amen. Amen. And we stand together. May the peace of God, which passes all human understanding, keep our hearts and our minds with Christ Jesus our Lord. Amen.